thanks for pushing play on their podcast app, whether that be Stitcher, iTunes, or you're listening directly from Lisbon. We here at the Disney Podcasters Roundtable would love to thank you personally, each and every one of you, but we can't. So, you can follow us on our Twitter or on our Facebook, and we can do it there. About this week's episode, or this month's episode, this is the first of three coming out. This has Dcast, dapsmagic.com, and as well as the Disney View. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And one more quick thing. There's new intro music. Only like one or two of these guys do have a podcast, and pulling their music is really tough. So I decided to look for some different music for this show and see how it plays out. And, well, I hope you guys like it. It's a rock version of most Disney songs. So stay tuned to listen to the ending of it, because it's just as cool. So here it is. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hello, welcome to episode 6 of the Podcasters Roundtable. I am your host, Barry, and joining me tonight, we have Scotty.
Hey.
And joining our crew is Melanie, and Melanie will be on both the Podcasters Roundtable and also the Disney Side Chat, so you'll hear a lot from her. Hey, Melanie, how's it going?
Feeling great.
All right, and joining us tonight, we have three different podcasts. We have Dale from the Dcast. Hey, Dale, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. And we have Dave from Disney View. How's it going, Dave?
I'm doing great.
Great. And also joining us is Chris from Daps Magic. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Doing great, too.
Great. So basically, what the roundtable is all about is getting podcasters together where they're out of their element, not on their own shows, but coming together where they can discuss different Disney topics and different Disney things that they may not talk about on their own shows. So tonight it is... Since it is February, we are titling this the Love Episode. And what we're going to do is going to go around and we're going to talk to each of the podcast hosts and Melanie and Scotty. We're going to talk about what we actually love about Disney, and we're going to talk about a little bit of that. So let's jump right into it, and let's go over to Dave. Dave, what's one of the things you love about Disney?
One of my favorite things is actually the cast members. I was a cast member myself at one point, and got to tell you, that's one of the things that's still a highlight for me, is just seeing the people and the way that they interact and the way they carry that Disney magic forward. It's all about them, in my opinion.
Cool. Yeah. All right, Dale, how about you?
Well, for me, it was all about just the magic, and I really got into that. But now that I've started doing podcasting and vlogging and stuff like that, it's all about the Disney community, and I just – everyone is so nice, and I've made new friends that I've never would have dreamed of having before. And so right now the Disney community is getting all my love.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Chris, how about you?
I would have to say one of the things I think of with Disney that I love is the stories, that they're so timeless and they're so magical, and it just pulls so many different people in. I'll say something about the community. I mean, it just affects so many people and brings them together. You can enjoy them in any format, rides, movies. They just have great stories.
Yeah. How about you, Melanie?
What I love about Disney is that it's a multi-generational experience. My parents grew up in Florida, so they didn't really get a chance to experience Disneyland growing up. But as soon as Walt Disney World opened, we were there. Well, a few years later anyway. And I have memories of going to the park as a kid. And now as a mom, I've got three teens, and now I can take them and going on family reunions. It's something that the grandparents get to experience with the grandkids.
Right. All right. Scotty, what about you?
I love the immersiveness. Like, it transports you. But when you enter that gate and you just leave all your problems at the gate, pretty much, and you just have fun. It's just a place where you get immersed into, you know, story of fantasy, and it's, I love it. It's just fun.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I agree with that, Scotty. One of the things that I love about Disney is the history. It, you know, to kind of go off of what Scotty said, it's like when you enter into, you know, and I've only been to Walt Disney World, so I can't really imagine what Disneyland would be like, but someday I'll be there. So, but just the first time I walked into Walt Disney World, it's just like being blown away, and it just feels like, especially when you walk down Main Street, you just feel like you're in a different time period, and you feel like all your problems are washed away, and I just love that. It just makes you feel like you're in a totally different era, and I think that's really important, because it paints a picture of, you know, a separate world from what you're actually living in. So let me ask you guys before we move on. Now, you know, we all love, you know, either Disney World or Disneyland. Do you get the sense when you're actually there? And let me start with Dale. When you're actually there, do you get the sense that that the park is actually, you know, for lack of a better word, loving you back as you're there?
Oh yeah, for sure. I've been to both parks, so. You know, Disney World's Main Street has a better reveal, you know, so because it's the street is wider than the Main Street at Disneyland, there's more people, but it seems like less people. And because when you're at Disneyland, there's so many people, it kind of takes away from the castle and the statue that the reveal has as you walk down Main Street. And I feel like when you're at Disney World, you're just hit with it. You see the castle and you're blown away. And, you know, to like, as soon as you turn left and you go into Adventureland, and you go through there, and then you go through New Orleans Square, and every, like, it's just I think that for me, that's the really big moment is when you transition from the one world. Like, so you go from Main Street USA into Adventureland or Tomorrowland, say, and you're just like, oh, wow, like I'm in a completely different place. And if you look closely, you can see like where the two lands meet, you know, and but I feel like I'm in 1970s future, or I feel like I'm in a deep, dark jungle, or I feel like I'm in New Orleans. And, you know, it's just no place, because if you took the atmosphere away from Disneyland and Disney World, the rides themselves are really good, but they're not thrill rides necessarily, like your Magic Mountains and things like that. Part of the experience is waiting in line, really, is the atmosphere. You know, I always say that waiting in line is just as much the ride as the ride itself. And it just transports you, and everyone's happy. Like, you would think that it would be like families that are cranky, they're hot in the sun, or like the trip's not going quite the way they want, but it usually isn't. Like, it usually isn't that way. Like, people are pretty happy, and they're like, oh, where are you from, and talking, and it's just it's a magical place.
Yeah. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of of that same opinion. It loves me back. Maybe in some ways I think that it doesn't love me back as much as it used to. You know, I'm a little bit of a living in the past a bit with the way Disney World used to be. But I still think it loves me back to a large degree. You still have that connection, that piece to it where you can feel the Imagineers. You can see the things that are going on. You can kind of touch it and it comes to life. I mean, you go to the Carousel of Progress and that's something Walt actually touched and worked on. And there's some simplicity to that that's really neat, and it kind of makes it work. Then you go into other attractions, and you see that you can see what the Imagineers did. And if you really follow the story and you pay attention, you really can see that just that human touch that goes into everything that makes it all worthwhile. As Dale said, you know, you're standing in a line. I prefer to stand in the lines than to use the Fast Pass most of the time, because you actually can experience something a little bit different. It's more immersive, and you get a little bit more out of it. So I think there's that piece to it. There's one other piece that I would throw at you. It's that there's this connection to the past that happens too. You know, I've been there many times with my family, my grandparents, my parents, and we all had a connection to it in some way. And when I go back to the parks, you know, some of the benches may have changed or moved slightly, but I still have that feeling that they're there in some way. So there's sort of that deeper connection that it's kind of loving me back, because it's a place we were all happy and having fun and doing different things. And I can kind of remember some of those things, even if it looks a little different, still have that connection to it. So that's how I feel it loves me back.
All right.
Just
Chris,
to add to that, the one thing though, I would say that at the macro Disneyland and Disney World love you back. I think there are little elements though that definitely don't love you. And I would say like a big example of that is at Disneyland, especially, is Toontown. Toontown doesn't love you. Toontown has forgotten about you and forgotten what it's supposed to be. And at Disney World, I would say sometimes like the amount of transportation you have to do to get from each park, like I feel almost that there could be more monorails or maybe more transportation options to get you around a little bit better.
I've always said it. Sorry, there is nothing magical about a bus.
Yeah, well, but I don't know. Those transportation vehicles are pretty magical, though. I love the parking lot. The transportation vehicles in Disney World are pretty awesome. Those are cool. But I wish you could, I don't know, like rent a golf cart and be able to drive yourself or something.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like, why not? You know, charge me $300 a day or whatever it is.
That would be amazing. But imagine driving down Main Street USA with a golf cart. All right.
No, not in the park. between gates.
Have them
theme bad enough with those scooters.
Right. Yeah.
You'd have your hazard lights on the whole time.
Also, that wave pool at the
Typhoon Lagoon you're thinking of?
Blizzard Beach?
The Typhoon Lagoon one is intense. I like that right away. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to get hurt. And I got hurt the first wave. I like bleeding all like first wave. Bleeding. I'm like, oh, yeah, it doesn't really love me.
You have to go to the wave pools in Wisconsin Dells. They're pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stick to the ocean.
That gets intense too. Yeah.
Rip currents.
Yeah.
All right. So, Melanie, on the same topic about the parks loving you back, what's your feeling on that?
Well, to take it beyond the parks, obviously I grew up in Florida, so I've been to Walt Disney World more times than I care to admit in public. But going on the Disney cruises, it's an extension of that. You see the profile of the ship when you're either driving to port or whether you're in a port of call. And it's like she's calling you in. I mean, when you board the ship, the cast members actually call your family's name out. They're applauding you. And you board the ship and back to the immersion theory. You are immersed in that world. It's almost like you're in another era where everyone really is happy. They take care of you from the moment you drop your luggage off to the moment you have to give it back to them. You are cared for every moment you're on board that ship, and that's really what keeps us going back every year.
Yeah, in Vancouver, we have a Disney cruise that leaves our port and does the Alaskan cruise, and where I used to work, my desk used to overlook the cruise ship that would come in.
Aren't they beautiful?
Oh, and every Monday at 4 o'clock I would hear it do, like, "When You Wish Upon a Star,"
right,
in its, you know, giant, huge cruise ship horns. And I just needed to go. I need to go on a Disney cruise.
You really do.
Yeah.
When we were on
especially
the
there,
ship,
I don't have to fly.
There's a tour called Art of the Theme Show where they explain every decorating choice just about on board, the thought that they put into the carpeting in the hallways, or every picture in every hallway. And the tour guide on one of the tours I went on, he would say that all of the other ships basically look like milk cartons on their sides. And when I got, and this was during the Alaskan cruise, and when we got off in Skagway, I looked at all the other cruise ships around us, and darn if they didn't look like milk cartons on their sides. And I always think that now, which was funny because that was in the Alaskan cruise in 2012. And he was on the Magic with us when we were there a few weeks ago. And I got to talk to him all over again. It's wonderful that you'll meet the crew members on one cruise and a totally random cruise on another coast on a different ship. Years later, you'll meet them again. And I really do love that.
Not to I kind of like derail sometimes, but apparently they're starting to introduce more Star Wars stuff on the Disney cruises. The 2016,
they really are.
Yeah, 2016 was a big moment for that. Have you been on one yet with that experience?
Absolutely. When you walk to the Walt Disney Theater, there's a large marquee poster board. I don't even know what you call those things. And it says Star Wars. You go into the two main gift shops, and there is Star Wars Disney Cruise Line exclusive merchandise, where the Star Wars merchandise actually has the cruise line logo and cruise line motifs. Yes. I believe there was a Tervis tumbler, but we ended up getting a few others. But they have all kinds of merchandising experiences. Of course, you can see the movie in 3D on the ships.
Oh, that's
hello.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Amazing. So it definitely, definitely you'll experience Star Wars probably, I would imagine, throughout the year. I can't see them taking that one out of the rotation based on the age of some of the films that we've seen on board this year.
Sure.
That one will probably be on board throughout the year.
Cool.
Especially with the merchandising tie-ins.
All right. And Scotty, what do you think about the parks?
I love everyone's ideas or thoughts on it. Here's my thought, and this is going to get better over time, of course. It's how they're integrating the My Magic experience and the interesting parts of, like, especially since they released you can look on your photo pass and see a video of you on Mine Train. I think it's going to get a lot more immersive in the coming years, and it's kind of Disney's way. I mean, yeah, you still got to pay for it all, but Disney's way of showing how, you know, their love back to you. So, you know, I think that's going to be pretty cool. But,
yeah, Scotty, I have to say, you know, I've learned to stop worrying and learn to love the Magic Band.
Right.
What else can we do?
Yeah, the whole experience, you know, when it first started, I was like, are you kidding me? And I've learned to, it's grown on me. And I've learned to like it. I'm trying to, the last part I'm trying to get over is sort of that creep factor that's still coming in where, you know, they're taking a video of you and it shows up on your photo pass and you go, wait, how did that get there? Because, you know, I didn't ask for it and it's getting there. So yeah. That part is still getting me a little bit. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah. What were you guys resistant to with the Magic Band? Because at Disneyland, I know like they're way behind on that type of stuff.
Yeah,
it's
actually,
It's not the bands. It's the fact that you have, if you're staying on site, you have that 60-day window where 60 days from now, I have to plan my fast passes for an entire week.
Oh.
And my daughter wanted to go see Anna and Elsa. That was her one request. And
yeah. You gotta get that right.
Am I going to get that?
Yeah. Elsa's
Dude,
evil, by the way.
There are strategies. Anna was fantastic, though. Oh, she was amazing.
Yeah, she's great. She but Elsa's evil.
Fabulous.
That's right, that's our.
So obviously we got the fast pass. But there's strategies, and you have to know the strategies. It's almost working for your vacation. And
sure.
The bands themselves are fabulous as far as getting into your hotel rooms, at the resorts,
paying
purchasing.
Because it's a little better than the biometric that they had, right? Because they had biometrics before. Because when I went, you had to put your thumb on a thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that was kind of weird.
And the kids never got a handle on that.
Yeah.
So, do like that. When my teenagers are off without us, as they often are now, because who wants to hang out with mom and dad when you're 16 years old?
Nobody.
Their photos from the rides and the attractions that they go on, their photos, their videos come to my account. So not only do I actually know that they were where they told me they would be, I actually get the photos from it so that I can keep those.
Oh,
even though I wasn't with them.
I don't like that at all, actually. Never mind.
Trying to hide.
Yeah. No, what if you like wanted to like, I don't know, go meet somebody, you know, like, right. Like you're like 16 year old and you're like, hey, yeah, let's like go to, I don't know, some restaurant,
other park.
Yeah. Like let's do something else. Yeah.
Oh,
that, oh about
my
that.
Kids right, usually tell me where they are.
Oh yes. I'm sure they're perfect.
my kids are angels.
Yeah. They all
but I mean, it's, and I think it's just gonna. I've been seeing like a couple people. I mean, I follow a lot of you guys from the Disney community, and there's some people that post pictures of random. Like, I think the photographers are getting better at capturing moments too, without you even knowing.
That sounds a little creepy too, though.
It does.
So I think you're right.
Magic.
Yeah, and that's what PhotoPass. I think that's what PhotoPass really needs to become, is where they have people, more photographers, and they're taking photos of everybody, and they try to be more aware. Like I kept my PhotoPass Plus thing out all the time, and I wish if they would see that, they would take photos of it better, and I wish there was a better technique. I wish they had maybe like a QPC code on both sides, so when they took a photo of it, they could know who I was or something. Because I did feel like it was so staged. Everything was so staged.
Right. I mean, they're going to get to a point where you're going to be walking around the park and you're going to just see random pictures post up of you.
Yeah,
that already happens on the cruise ships. They have facial recognition software, and photos magically appear in your folders.
A 72-hour video of your trip.
You have pictures from the aqueduct where they take a picture of you on the attraction, and then it magically ends up in your onboard photo file.
You wouldn't even realize that the picture was taken.
We didn't. My daughter went on it about 20 times easily, and they figured out where the camera was. So they started posing and making funny faces, and we had no clue this had happened. And then 2 days later, we walk into Shutters to look at the photos, and we see an array of hilarious photos. So photo recognition, it's already here. Or face recognition software.
Right. And then, I mean, with the Magic Bands and stuff, it's just going to get...
Yeah, even better.
Yeah. I read somewhere that they were thinking about creating a movie of you walking through the park and everything. I'm like, okay, that's what are you doing?
Like, sure, like I'll buy it, but please don't.
Right.
Don't do it, but I'll buy it.
Yeah, right. I don't have to lug around a camera anymore. You guys will take all the pictures.
Isn't Disney so good at pricing everything? Like just the maximum amount you were willing to pay. Right? You're like, no, oh, this shirt's pretty nice. $27.99? That's exactly how much I was willing to pay.
Yeah.
That's because they had people following you around and asking that question. He wouldn't spend $28, so let's make it $27.99.
You're like, you're at Magic Kingdom, and they have those like half pineapple fruit things. Like, I don't know, only if like I'd pay like $11.99 for that. Like, hey, guess what? It's $11.99. Like, oh, okay, I guess I'll have to get it now.
It probably like magically changes the prices every time you walk up with the facial recognition and guy is doing $12.99.
This guy's an alpha consumer. He'll buy anything.
Yeah, right. Or you got the people that are like cheap, I don't know, that would be hilarious because you'd be in line and be like, hey, he got it for $2.99, why can't I get it for $2.99?
You make more money.
Well, maybe
though.
If they did something like maybe if they did something like the Price is Right where you're actually bidding on it and then
eBay auction.
And I agree with you about the pricing because it feels like every 100 yards you go, there's someone there to take a survey, and it's like didn't I just ask the questions there before? And
I don't get asked.
No, I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay $44.99 for a T-shirt. Sorry.
No,
I've never came up to be asked for surveys. Maybe because I'm a solo traveler. I don't know. It's kind of odd, but
I got a couple surveys. I was okay with them. They're quick. They try to be really nice, and I think they do them a lot at like the gates, which is good. But I don't know, like how else are they supposed to do it? You know, like they're trying to make it good for everybody. They ask, you know, 1 in 100 people, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Cool. Thank you. Have a nice day. One thing I think though, I wish they would reward you for doing the survey a little bit more. Like you get a free fast pass. Like you get like an extra fast pass or something.
Here's a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah. That would probably, there would be a lineup. I guarantee. There would be a lineup to do, 45-minute lineup to do a survey for a Rice Krispie treat.
Well, you can't have that because then that will turn into a fast pass. And you don't want to have that.
Yeah. Fast pass
for. I got the fast pass for the Rice Krispie.
All right, so let's go ahead and let's get back to our love episode list. And Chris, do you have another thing that you love about Disney?
I feel like we've been throwing out so many things, but I just think I would add the atmosphere, but the details in particular about the atmosphere of the parks. And I have some friends and I that take a lot of photos, and we'll describe how photogenic parks are. Like we'll almost like grade each park. Like, oh, that one was really, that's really photogenic. That one's not. But I think it's just that you can kind of turn around almost, you know, anywhere, and it's like, oh, I kind of want to take a picture of that, or oh, there's this weird looking sign. That's great. I'll take a picture of that. And it's, you know, just the amount of detail that Disney puts into the parks and rides and restaurants, everything. I mean, it's incredible. And I don't think there's anything like it anywhere else.
Maybe Harry Potter World.
Maybe Harry Potter World. I have been there too. Now that I think about it, I took tons of pictures there.
Yeah. Harry Potter World's like, it's the closest thing to come to Disney.
Yeah. But I mean, only one like land type area in the whole theme park, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give it credit, but you know, as a whole theme park, I think Disney tends to be leaps and bounds over everyone else. Yeah.
That's why I'm so excited for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be on the level of
Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
But Disney.
Oh yeah. Well, and Pandora too. I mean, I guess Pandora's first. So.
Yeah, Pandora, I'm so excited for Pandora. A lot of people are kind of like, meh. And, I didn't, like, Avatar is just, you know, Dances with Wolves, but with blue people. Yeah. And
I've never heard of that.
Wow.
Kevin Costner was in Avatar?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, he was. He was one of the horses.
He was that blue guy standing by the blue guy, right?
You wouldn't know. It was an animated film, but the thing about Avatar is like it's a cool world, right? Like, and when I heard that Magic Kingdom, I'm like, oh, that's a perfect idea because. Yeah, you don't get to spend the whole day at Magic Kingdom, and Magic Kingdom is really great. Like, I love the food options. I love the feel. The Tree of Life is breathtaking. You know, Mount Kilimanjaro is such a great ride. I think that's better than Matterhorn Mountain. And don't tell any Disneyland people I said that. They'll attack me.
Well, that's me, but I won't attack you. It's incredible. Everest is one of the best rides, I think.
Is it Everest? I thought it was Kilimanjaro.
That's the safari ride.
Kilimanjaro, it's Everest.
Oh, yep.
Expedition Everest, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, doesn't look like Mount Everest, but yeah.
Our kids love the single rider line. We fast pass it one time as a family so we can get the picture. Yeah. Then my husband and I, we shop in that gift shop. It's phenomenal. And they've got a great alcove area where you can just hang out. The kids attack that single rider line 1,000 times.
Yeah.
All right. Dave, do you have another one?
Yeah, I think that the whole concept of just the immersiveness of it all, I think, you know, we've kind of said this a little bit, but it's everything about being immersed in the story. You know, everything that's there. You know, we talked about Avatar Land a little bit. I don't like the movie. I didn't like the movie to begin with. I'm not thrilled that they're putting out two more movies. I know, boo me. But I'm of the opinion that there's some opportunities there. You know, the concept and what the Imagineers can do is really pretty fascinating. I've seen some of the photos and seen some of the concept art. I saw Joe Rohde being interviewed, and I'm like, it looks really cool, and I want to see it, and I want to enjoy it, and I want to experience it, and it looks great. Star Wars, on the other hand, totally a fan, totally thrilled by that, and the fact that Disney owns that property just makes it a natural fit. I'm totally on board with it, and I really look forward to seeing what they do with that, and that just excites me to no end. But it's that immersive story that they're bringing to us, and they're going to put us into, and that kind of sells me on a lot of things. You know, they can do some things wrong as long as they keep doing something that keeps impressing me and wowing me. That's kind of my take on it.
Totally.
I feel like I would trust Disney to do Avatar Land well. Like, I'm think I'm with you guys a little bit. Like, Avatar was okay for me, but yeah, just what they're planning on doing is incredible. But, you know, almost like you don't necessarily need the movies to have that be an incredible area of the park and have the detail that they're putting in and have the special effects that they're putting in. It just seems so immersive and so incredible.
Yeah, and they're doing that bioluminescent ground too, right? Mm-hmm. So when you walk on it, you see that's just like great detail.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's taken so long. They just want to get it right. Mm-hmm. So they're just slowing everything else down. Oh, we haven't got the just chill. So, but it's going to be amazing. I have to agree with that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
Nope. I should say, Dale, do you have something?
Well, I was just, we just had Fresh Baked on our podcast and vlog the other day, and I had asked them, do you think we're gonna like see another original IP, any original IPs from Disney ever again, you know, but any new rides that are completely made up by themselves and not based off of a movie or a license they bought? Because I kind of like, I feel like we've lost that in the last maybe what, 5 years, decade, maybe,
probably since Animal Kingdom opened.
Yeah.
Cars Land, kind of.
No, that's not an original IP.
Cars Land?
So something like Expedition Everest, it's not based on a movie or property.
Or Pirates of the Caribbean or The Haunted Mansion, right?
Exactly.
There's nothing original, no original licensing coming out anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so probably the Mount Everest Expedition Everest is probably the last one, and that was about 10 years ago. So that's about right, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just something that kind of exists.
I was going to point out, Shanghai Disneyland seems to have a lot of original attractions and stories. But, I mean, that's all the way in Shanghai also.
Right. So,
yeah.
Oh, my God, Disney Sea, I got to get there.
Ooh, yeah.
It's actually, that tends to have a lot. I've been able to go over there, too, so.
To Tokyo,
yeah.
Jealous.
Well, the weird thing about Disneyland Tokyo, too, is that it actually isn't fully owned by Disney.
Mm-mm.
It's like a hybrid ownership type thing. That's why I think they have a lot of the... I think
well, that's
that
what Shanghai is, too.
Yeah, I really... For Tokyo, I feel like, and even though I just said I want original IPs, I feel like they should put a Miyazaki land in there.
Now, that would be cool, actually. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you go
totally
like
whimsical
Totoro.
And very cool, you know.
Yeah.
All right, Melanie, what do you think? Do you have another one?
Not prepared, but. I well, you know, people always ask me, okay, Mel, what's your dream job? What would you do if you could work at Walt Disney World? And I'll tell them in a heartbeat, I would work at Bronx, the bridal studio on site. I love seeing all the newlyweds, all of the weddings going on, the honeymooners. I'm tempted to buy that bridal set of Mickey ears just to have them for myself. So the way that the parks have open their arms to the newlyweds, although we'll have our 20th wedding anniversary this year, so I'm about as far from a newlywed as it can come, so maybe that's why I idolize it, and I just love seeing the Disney brides. Maybe it's because I only have one daughter that I'm trying desperately to get her to get married at Walt Disney World, but or my sister who actually got married on a Disney cruise line. So I love weddings on site, so if we're going to continue the theme of love, I love seeing the honeymooners and the newlyweds.
And Melanie, that's a great one. I tend to walk up to people. If they're wearing the button, I'll always say something, right?
Yes.
The mouse ears or whatever, I'll say something. Hey, congratulations, whatever. I'm still, I always, one thing I've always wanted to do, I find people who've gotten married there and I always talk to them about their weddings, what it was like. And I'm still trying to find someone who's willing to come on a podcast and actually tell me about it, as a story.
Right.
Because I think that would be a really compelling story. I think it's a great, great thing. Somebody got married there. That's really cool. What was it all like? What did you experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And Scotty, what do you think? You have another one?
I actually don't. I think we've all covered it. I mean, I like my. I think, especially with what Melanie said, I think it's pretty cool seeing couples, walk around with the Mickey ears with, either the groom hat or
the top hat.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. And I do the same thing. I say congratulations and stuff like that. And actually, on my last trip, I went over New Year's Eve. I bought my sister and her boyfriend, the matching, there was matching shirts at the time that says I'm with Minnie, and then that points to like Mickey, and then Mickey says I'm with Mickey or Minnie. Yeah, one of those ways. I screwed that all up, but yeah, it was like it was pretty cool when I showed them off to my brother and sister, or my sister and her boyfriend, and like they just lost it. So it was because my sister, she's a huge. She likes Minnie because her daughter, my niece, is just nothing but Minnie. So, and I bought her a Minnie sweater that has the Minnie ears on the hood. So, yeah. But it's, I just love the magic. It's just plain and simple, the magic of just going there. So I'm hoping to cross off Disneyland here soon.
Oh, you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Space Mountain's better.
It
You'll
is.
Love it. It
it's
is.
A small
it is.
World is better. Pirates is better.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a Walt Disney World girl. Yeah. It pains me to say those things.
I think the Jack Sparrow editions are better at Disney World than they are at Disneyland, because at Disneyland they shoehorn in Jack Sparrow at as you're going up the hill, right as you're leaving. Mm-hmm. Where in Disney World he has at least his whole own area.
I do like it more at Disney World, and that's coming from a Disneyland pass holder. So
yeah.
We always like what we don't have access to.
Yeah. I mean, comparing both. Yeah. Ours is maybe a little bit longer, which is nice. So.
Yes, it is. Splash Mountain's a little different, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only time we went to Disneyland, we were still suffering under the Splash Mountain curse, where we went for 10 years, and either it was down for rehab, or I was expecting, or we had too many young children who couldn't ride. Or we always go in January. So again, down for rehab again. And so we finally told the kids we were going to go visit some family and head over to Disneyland. And they're like, can we finally ride Splash Mountain? And I had to tell them that no, even in Disneyland, the Splash Mountain curse continued. I think it was 2 years ago. And mind you, my son is he's 17 now, but it was about 2 years ago when we finally got to ride it as a family. And we go almost every year. But one of these days I'll get to see Splash Mountain over in Disneyland.
It was such a sad story.
I know. It was our curse. And then I had to explain. What was worse is I had to explain to my kids the whole story. You know, no, those aren't thorns at the bottom of the fall. And who Brer Rabbit, what's going on? So,
do you ever just act out the story?
No, never.
They can splash water in their face and say this is
what I do sometimes is with the point of view videos, I'll sit on the couch with the boys and put my arms over their shoulders, and then when they going down, I shake and make it seem like we're falling and stuff. That's about as good as they get when we can't go.
Absolutely.
But it only works if you have surround sound going.
Yeah.
We need Google Glasses for this. That's it.
Yeah.
Or Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I just did a 360 video when I was there of Osborne Lights. So.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm gonna miss those, but.
Maybe that's Star the price Wars to pay for progress, yeah. Right?
So, right. Yeah. Star Wars Land will have them.
Yeah.
We'll light up.
I think they need to have a laser light show, almost like, remember the Pink Floyd ones way back when? They need to have Star Wars laser light show. They go pew, awesome. Pew, pew, all around. I think that could go year-round, which, you know, for people who can't travel during the holidays, I think that would be awesome. That way you could get a light show.
There was this, there's a funk Star Wars album made back in the day, and that would be perfect for that.
I have to look that one up.
All right, and one of the things I love is the nighttime shows at all the parks. It's just nice to be around a group of people. You know, we're tired. You know, it's like icing on a cake or cherry on top of the sundae when you sit back and just enjoy the fireworks. The electrical parade, anything like that, to where you're out of the heat. You're just done with the day, and it's just a nice cherry on top. So that's just something I love, and just especially experience it with your younger kids. You know, it's just a joy to see them, especially just watching the fireworks and that. So that's something great and something I really love to do when I'm there.
Oh, and I agree. The nighttime shows that Disney puts out are just amazing. And I cannot wait for Rivers of Light, because that's just going to, that's going to cap off the day at Animal Kingdom. I love how they switched the for the Star Wars Symphony in the Sky. And that's a daily thing mm-hmm. at Hollywood Studios, which is just an amazing experience because it catches you off guard. You're standing there, and then next thing you know, the music blares, and you're like, whoa, fireworks, yeah. Epcot's Illuminations always gets the women teary-eyed. and then, you know, you get to celebrate the magic and Wishes, and the two other versions of, well, what is there, like four or five different versions of Wishes. You know, you got the 4th of July, the New Year's, Hollow Wishes, and Holiday Wishes. They're all just amazing. Disney does not spare an expense for fireworks, and they should never stop doing that.
And that was pretty good, the way you just called them all out off the top of your head like that. That was pretty impressive.
Very.
Yeah. Well, and then, well, from what I've been hearing too, their Illuminations is getting an overhaul. So, but that ain't gonna be for years. So, wait.
No, I definitely think the River of Life will be amazing. I remember when we saw, what was it, the World of Color over in Disney California Adventure? Mm-hmm. It was before Cars Land opened. Cars Land was still under construction when we were there, and we saw the Wonderful World of Color, and it was amazing. So I know some of the aspects of that are going to be brought into River of Life, and that'll be amazing to see.
All right, let's go ahead, and we're going to wrap this episode up. And let's go ahead, and Dave, why don't you tell the people where they can find you and your social media links and that.
Sure. You know, everything's under Dave's Disney View. You'll find me at DisneyWorldPodcast.net. That's the site that I have that maintains my podcast. You can find me on Facebook as Dave Kennedy, and it's you can find me as, through the links on Disney World Podcast. I have the link on there. Twitter's Disney View. So you can check me out. Come check out my podcast, see what you think, and always appreciate new listeners and feedback. Love interacting with people.
All right. And Chris, where can I find you?
You can find me at dapsmagic.com. That's DAPS, stands for Disneyland Annual Pass Holders, but dapsmagic.com. I'm Murray on there. And I'll give our just general Twitter handle. It's daps_magic on Twitter. And so we post tons of stuff there. And Dapscast is a podcast that's with it all.
All right, and Dale?
I'm Dale Lentland on the Twitters and the Instagram, and then we are at the DCast on Twitter as well, our podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, the DCast, where we do a weekly podcast and vlog, and then Andy releases a video once a week, and I release a video once a week, usually ranging from things like Captain Phasma as a spy to a cover of Odalali.
All right, and Melanie.
Well, you can find me over on Twitter and Instagram. I am Diz Cruising Mom. It's D-I-S Cruising Mom. And you can also hear me next week over on the Disney Side Chat.
All right, and Scotty.
You can find me on Twitter as the Great Traveling Scott, GR8 as in the number 8, TRAVLNSCOTT.
All right, and you can find us. We are at Diz Roundtable, and we also have a Facebook group, Disney Podcasters Roundtable, there. You can check us out there. You can find me on Twitter at One Magical Mouse. And I also have a blog, and that is the Mouse Knows Best.wordpress.com. And I just actually put a blog out yesterday, and I made my own NFL football team using Disney animated characters. So go ahead and check it out there. I actually have my quarterback on that team is Merida. So so you want to check that out?
She'd have strong arms because of her archery. Good choice.
Yeah, and I actually have the head coach, Judge Frollo. So, so again, I want to thank you all for listening, and thank our fellow podcasters for coming on. It's been great, and I want to thank you for listening. So, have a great day.